Yet whoever the author is, we find in chapter 10 of the letter to the Hebrews, a call to preserve and persevere within the church. So today, as we conclude the series, A Closer Walk with Thee, the thee in today's message is God's people, us. A closer walk with each other as the church. For God's presence and God's power, God's Spirit is embodied where, folks? In us. We walk with thee. It's a commitment to walk hand in hand with each other. So let us turn to God's Scripture now, God's Word. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll begin at verse 19 and read through 25. I do not have the page number handy. Somebody already there? 1191. I think every Sunday I'm going to ask, and I'm going to see who can yell it out first. It'll be like a little competition. Like a teacher in the classroom, always trying to keep things interested. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the Holy Scriptures of God. Let us pray. Father, you are all that is good and all that is holy. And as we read from the Bible, Lord, we call it the Good News and the Holy Bible. Because, Lord, it is from you, for you have spoke forth good news into a world that is broken in despair. You, Lord, are holy and have given these words to us that we might be set apart as your people, bringing about your kingdom and your message here on earth. And so, Lord, may the message of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, Lord, be good and holy in your purpose. May we be rooted, Lord, always in your word, not my own. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A closer walk with thee, capital T. And I built this series around defining who the thee is. We started earlier this month by talking about thee as the Father, the Heavenly Father. And each Sunday saying about the blessing that we have to be able to walk with the Father and how that blessing leads us to a responsibility. If we rewind back to the first Sunday in January, remember as talking about the blessing of walking with God the Father is that we receive all that He provides for us. We are blessed. The earth provides for us. We provide for one another all because of God the Father. His provision for us is a tremendous blessing. Amen. All that we have, everything on earth is His. And He has entrusted it to us, His prized creation, the image of His very own being, humanity. We are blessed by God the Father because He provides for us. And that comes with a responsibility. Comes with the responsibility that if you are a child of God, you look upon God as your Father in heaven, then we are responsible for glorifying His name, for His name being made well. Just as we who are fathers and mothers teach our children to reflect our family name well. We, as God's people, as His children, must carry the responsibility of glorifying the Father in heaven. If you're going to walk with God the Father, you better walk away glorifying His name and doing as He is, as He tells. Then we talked about the capital T as Jesus, the Lord, and the Savior. And when we walk with Jesus, maybe this is a little easier to envision because Jesus actually walked the earth, and we can envision ourselves walking with a man of Middle Eastern descent, bearded and robed, sandals or barefoot. And we can sense what it might have been like to walk with Jesus. But when we walk with Jesus, we walk with the guy who has all authority over heaven and earth. I mean, this guy's in charge of everything. He sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven with authority over all powers and principalities of the earth and of the people on the earth. And we get to walk with that dude. Isn't that pretty cool? That's a blessing. And it's also a blessing that He died for us and we get, through our faith in Him, our forgiven sin and live forever. I mean, what more can you want by walking with a guy who's in charge of everything and gives you life everlasting? Wow. Well, there's a responsibility that comes with that blessing, is there not? The responsibility is that if He's in charge of everything, then we ought to submit to His way and His word. That's what it is to walk close with Jesus. You recognize Him as Lord, and you walk in His way. He's in charge of your life. You pay rent to Jesus, because He's your Lord. Last week we talked about the capital T, the Holy Spirit. We get that was a board. Sorry. I'm going to have fun with this. Ready? Let's get that fixed, maybe. I'm going to stand up here. Speaking of the Holy Spirit, lovely. When we walk with the Holy Spirit, we walk with the very living Spirit of God. Now, that's harder to envision because the Spirit blows where the Spirit wants to blow, right? It's hard to personalize and envision the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit lives within us. The Holy Spirit is what gives us life. Scriptures say that since we live by the Spirit, we walk in step with the Spirit. And the responsibility of being able to walk with the very breath and work and power of God is that we must bear fruit as the Spirit leads us. Last week we talked about how our lives bear fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. I know that because I know the words to a song. But the point is, when we walk with the Holy Spirit, all the blessing that comes with the life of the Spirit means that we carry the responsibility to bear fruit, just as I have listed. I wanted this series, though, to be more than just a series about walking with God, the great Trinitarian God. Three persons, yet somehow miraculously all one God. Three ways in which we can engage the holy mystery that is the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I wanted to stretch the series to just four sermons because I wanted it to be a January sermon series. So I thought really hard about, is there a fourth definition to the word the? It's these church, God's church. It's us. This is easier to envision. God lives within us. Therefore, we are called together. That's why we're here today. God is present in your life somehow, powerfully, maybe in a small way, or maybe in a great way in which you're on fire for the Lord and you just love being in the presence of God's people. But we're all here today because God is actively embodied and working in our lives. Is that true? I hope that's true. Otherwise, you're not in the right spot. You should be maybe at the diner right now. We are the church. We are called to reflect God's presence, His purpose, His message, and we do it by gathering together. We walk together as the church. And so today I want to conclude the series by thinking about walking with thee as walking with fellow believers, the faithful, the church. And what's interesting, when I started thinking about the blessing of the church and the responsibility of the church, I realized that it's the same thing. You know, the blessing of walking with the Father is He provides for us, and the responsibility is we glorify His name. The blessing of walking with Jesus is He's our Lord and our Savior, and the responsibility is we better submit to His authority. The blessing of walking and living in the Spirit is that we have life and life everlasting, but yet we better take the responsibility of bearing fruit. The blessing of the church is each other. And the responsibility is each other. The blessing is the responsibility. That's the church. We are to gather with one another, and we are to support and encourage and rely, support each other. The blessing is the responsibility. That's pretty neat. That's my take on it. That's how I see the church. We are the church. It's a wonderful blessing. But we as the church carry the responsibility of living together. Talk about the church. Let's define the church in broader terms. And when we speak about the church, we could speak about the church in a very global and universal way. We could talk about the church that has nothing to do with this group of people or this building. We can talk about the church in the way we confess our faith. Have you ever memorized the Confessions of Faith, the Nicene Creed? We believe in the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Those are words that are used, big words, theologically deep-rooted words that give us an idea of what the church is about, what Jesus intended the church to be. The church is holy. That does not mean perfect, folks, at all. Actually, the word holy means set apart. We're different. We're set apart from other organizations. We, as God's people, are set apart from other people. We are a holy church. The very fact that you're here and not everyone else in the area isn't means that we are a group of people set apart this morning, are we not? We are not at the diner today. We're set apart from the diner this morning. We are not at home today. We're set apart from the people at home today. We are not at work today. Congratulations, you got the day off. We are set apart for a common purpose. We are holy, set apart for the purposes of God. And all churches across the entire globe are holy churches, set apart for God's purpose. Not only are we set apart, but we are sent out from this place. We are sent out from this place to declare God's word, to declare the good news of Jesus Christ, to make the message of God known to all, to those who currently aren't set apart for God's purposes. We call that apostolic. To be apostolic means that we take the place of those first apostles. And what was their role in the church? What did the apostles do? They went out, started in Jerusalem, Samaria, and then the ends of the earth till it reached us 2,000 years later. They constantly knew they were sent out. They were set apart, then they were sent out. They were holy and apostolic. And where were they sent out to? Everywhere. Across the world, globally, universal. And that's what we say and mean when we say we are a Catholic church. Small c, not capital C. Catholic means everywhere, everyone, universal. And those are the big, broad, sweeping strokes and the ways in which we can define the church. And aren't you blessed to be part of that? You are holy, apostolic, and Catholic. Amen? I just get you all to say amen to being holy, apostolic, and Catholic. That's a blessing. But today, I don't want to talk about the Catholic, apostolic, or holy church that we are corporately across this world. Today, I want to talk to you about this church, this group of God's people, Lebanon, Presbyterian Church. I want us to think, I want you to think about your place in this church. What does that mean? What does it mean to be part of a local church? We know what it means to be part of God's church movement globally. I just spent some time telling you about it. But what does it mean for you to sit in that pew and to be part of this church? Maybe it's your church, or for some it's just a church. But I want you all to think about today, what does it mean to be part of a local church? What is the blessing and the responsibility of us, God's people, in this place right now? The author of Hebrews lays out for us what that means. What it means to preserve and persevere as a local church. When the author wrote to Hebrews, the author wasn't writing to try and gather the church together globally and keep them unified as God's movement on earth that brings about His kingdom. When Hebrews was written, it was written to the people known as the Hebrews who were gathering locally as a church. These words were written for a group of people who were trying to be church together. Not in Rome, not in Corinth, not in the far reaches of the world, but local. These words have indication on what it means for people to be a church locally. So let's look at this. It means first and foremost, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. A local church exists, folks, a variety of people from a variety of locations with a variety of gifts and talents, a variety of ages and generations, from the youngest to the eldest. Churches exist because that group of variety of people come together to profess one hope, one Lord, one faith in Jesus Christ. We are here today because we are unified in the name of Jesus Christ, because we profess Him as Lord and Savior. That's what this is about. A local gathering is about a group of people who live in a local area who all profess the same belief that Jesus is Lord of their life and Savior of their soul. Amen? Folks, you are brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what it means to be a local church. It's kind of like I sometimes use sports analogies, okay? It's like when you see someone who's a fan of your teammate and you don't know that person, or a fan of your team and you don't know them. Maybe you're in Giant Eagle and you see somebody, you're checking out the line and it's the middle of winter and you see a really uninteresting person behind you who's pretty pathetic because he's wearing a Pirates hat. And it's the middle of winter. And you look back and you're like, huh, there's a Pirate fan. I'm a Pirate fan. Hey, what do you think about the Andrew McCutchen trade? And then all of a sudden, we have something to talk about, right? Because we share this common belief or this common interest. When we gather in this room, we all share a common interest in Christ being Lord of the earth, Savior of our soul, head of this church. We gather in His name. He's the head of the church. I know I stand in front of you a lot, and I do a lot of talking, and you have a habit of maybe thinking that I'm the leader and I'm the head, but I'm not. Trust me, I don't want to be. I only stand here to declare to you what I know has already been said and declared about Jesus Christ. Amen? And we're here. We profess that same thing. People stand right here on the floor, on this squeaky step, and up here. Once or twice a year, whether they're youth or adults, and they profess a common belief in Jesus Christ, and by that profession, we receive them as members of this church. And that's the only requirement to be a member of a church. The only requirement is that you would stand in front and publicly declare to another group of people that Jesus Christ is your Lord, that you renounce sin and receive forgiveness, and commit to follow His way, read His word, and seek the fellowship of His people. That is what membership is. It's just a profession of faith publicly. It's not a requirement to give so much money or to attend so many services or serve in so many ways. All of that comes as a blessing or an expectation. I'll get to that in a minute. But to be a member of a church or to be part of a church is to share in its common profession. And there are people who aren't even members who still gather here because they believe that, right? If you're here today, I trust that you believe in Jesus as Lord. And if you don't quite believe in Jesus and Lord yet, I guarantee you God put you here so that you will. That's what it means to be a local church, to come together as a body of believers in Jesus. Well, is that all that we do? We just get together and say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Well, you got to keep reading. It's more than that. It's more than just sharing a common belief. Go into verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Oh, wait. Oh, so we're supposed to like know each other. We don't just share a common interest, but we're supposed to know each other. And spur on each other. Spur is actually not a friendly word either, right? That hurts. Come on, move, come on. It's time for us to work together, to do good works together. I mentioned how we raised last year all of our mission funds because people working together and the blessing of giving it away. It's tremendous. We are called together not to just believe in the same thing, but to work together and to spur one another on to good deeds. You know, lastly, my third point is that we are to meet together regularly. Verse 25. Let us not give up on meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. I read that two different ways. Help me out here. I'll read it to you again. You tell me what it means. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. Is that a reference that some are in the habit of meeting together or that some are in the habit of not meeting together? Which is it? Mike, what do you think? Tom, what do you think? Preachers helping out preachers here. Yeah. Tell us grammatically what it means, Professor Tom. Oh, that's why I hope it. Yeah, okay. So not meeting regularly together. It's easy to fall in that habit, isn't it, folks? Isn't it not? Is it easier to come to meet together or easier to not come and meet together? What's easier? Seemed like it was pretty easy today, but it is a nice day out, and it's maybe easier to get out. But it can be hard, right? Work schedules, family pressures, laziness, don't like the preacher. There's all kinds of reasons we can come up with to regularly not meet together. But what the Bible is saying here is, work hard to regularly meet together. That's what we do. Because when we're together, that's when we can spur one another on to good deeds and love. That's when we can rejoice in our common faith. That's hard to do when you're sitting at home listening to Pastor Pillow preach, right? Or hanging out at St. Mattress. It's hard to spur one another on there, isn't it? Now, I understand that regular church attendance is a difficult thing to master. But these are the things that the local church are called to do, to believe in a common name of Jesus Christ, to meet together regularly, so that when you're here, you can spur one another on in good deeds and love. That's what the Bible says. And more than what the Bible says, you know what helps this come alive? This definition of the common church to share in the same belief, to spur one another on in love, to meet together regularly. It's not just by reading it in a book, but by seeing it in a person. That's really when the church works. It's more than just a thought and a commitment and a belief. It's actually embodied by a person. Which leads me to September 18th, 1936. Anyone born then? September 28th, 18th, 1936? You were born in June? Okay, you were 3 months old, Floyd. Anyone else born before 1936, September? Edna? Okay. 35. You were a year old. Anyone else? Barb? 35. You were a year old. Were either of you here at a year old age in this building, in this church? Floyd? Floyd was a 3 month old. Her parents probably had her back in the nursery. And on that day, September 18th, 1936, right in this spot. For those of you behind the pillars, you would be outside right now looking in windows. Those of you over there, you would be in the parking lot pulling weeds. Reverend Wilson would not have been here. But a gentleman by the name of Patton, last name Patton, Reverend Patton, would have stood right here. Just as I'm standing, 1936. And on September 18th, he asked a little girl to make a profession of faith and became a member of this church. The girl was 11 years of age. It was the pastor's daughter. And that 11-year-old girl, her name was Lotta Minner. We celebrated her glorious inheritance that she's received in the heavenly arms of her Father in this spot last evening. Lotta became a member of this church on September 18th, 1936. Do the math, folks. She was a member of this church for 81 years. And she wasn't just a member in the books for 81 years. From that day that she was 11 years old to the day maybe just a couple years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, when she became homebound, she was an active, regular participant of this church. Amen? She gathered here regularly for 81 years. She spurred on and encouraged the flock for 81 years. She held firm to her faith, the profession she made when she was 11, for 81 years. Let me put that in perspective for you. That's hard looking back. But let me put this in perspective for you because it hit me like a ton of bricks. It just so happens that I am a pastor and I have a daughter who 2 years ago in 2015 was 11 years old, and who stood between me and Tom Wilson, and she made a profession of faith to you, this congregation, and she was baptized by immersion as a sign and symbol of her faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. That was a glorious day for old Papa here. She was 11, 2 years ago, 2015. Preacher's daughter. Now, if Autumn were to live out the same lifetime membership at this church as Plata did, we will celebrate Autumn's membership of 81 years in 2096. Put that in perspective, folks. It's inconceivable. Inconceivable. Or is it? Floyd, how old were you in 1936? 3 months old. Anyone here born and baptized in this church? Been here since you were born and baptized? You're well on your way. Are these the next plot of minners among us? People who regularly gather? People who encourage and work with each other? Spur one another on in good works and good deeds? Encourage one another in times of trouble and trial? Tell me, Plata did that. You ask the previous preacher's wife who she turned to for counsel and support. You know who it was? Plata Minner. She was an active, occurring person in this congregation through 12 different pastors. And to tell you her fortitude and commitment to this church, she put up with Don Wilson for 36 years. And she put up with the preachers that no one liked. And the ones that seemed like were leading the church in the wrong direction. Why? Because she committed to her church. This church. That's what we're called to be as a church. To believe the same things. To love and spur each other on in good deeds and in love. And to encourage one another in times of trouble. And where does that happen, folks? How does that happen? I'm going to turn my back and I want you to stop looking at me now. Because it's not about me. You look around and see the church around you. You are the church. This is your church. Walk closer with thee. Walk closer. Not with me. Walk closer with thee. Let us pray. Father, the top of the hour has come, but your Spirit is still alive, and so we ask, Lord, for just a few more minutes. We ask, Lord, that you would bind us together as a local church. Bind us together, Lord, by the faith that we profess. Encourage and spur us on by the works of one another. This we pray as we stand and sing to you and your glory. Amen. Now go forth and let it be, you, a closer walk with Thee. Father, Son, Spirit, each other. Amen.